Blog Talk Radio.
Well, here we go, ladies and gentlemen, across the airwaves. You have supported this show for quite a long time. We're just so blessed and honored that you keep doing it each and every week. Prime time in Pittsburgh. It's a Doc Talk podcast hosted by a brother, a mentor, and a friend to me, and I really mean that, Dr. Craig Roscoe. He's in Pittsburgh. Yours truly, Mark Mancini, producing in Los Angeles, 347-205-9631. If you happen to miss it, 60 minutes goes by quick. Archive version, blogtalkradio.com/Mancini Sports. Podcast platforms, wherever you subscribe to podcasts, powered now by Mancini Media. So without further ado, as I lay the red carpet, put the podium in its place, hand off the mic, the threes, Doc, how are you? How can people get a hold of you? And she's coming in right now, your great guest, and we're just so blessed to have her in there, and I'll man the boards till the top of the hour.
Boy, that's great. Mark, I want to thank you very much for helping promote our show as well as co-hosting. Things are great. The weather, in Pittsburgh, we're almost thinking we're in spring, by the way, Mark. The weather's been, a little crazy, but we're getting up to those 40s and 50s, and there's no, I don't want to use the S word, virtually no snow on the ground. So things are beautiful. The show's doing great. I still receive an awful lot of emails. As you know, our listeners can get a hold of me, gjrmd308@outlook.com. This evening, we really have a very special lady. It's Marilyn Morales. She's a holistic nurse, and she's an RN nurse as well, and has done nursing for a long time, as well as has done quite a bit with holistic nurses and nursing. She is in New York, New Jersey. She comes from Brooklyn. A lot of experience. And this evening, we wanted to talk a little bit about Marilyn's story, really her business acumen, her entrepreneurship. She is an author. She's written books and has a lot going on. Is very instrumental. Well, let me say that again. Very instrumental in bone marrow donors of Latino and mixed ethnic background people. She's had some very traumatic happenings in her life, and we can share those this evening. She's brought those to the fore in her book, When the Answer is No. We'll talk all about that. And I think we have Marilyn. Marilyn, I think we have you on the program, correct?
I am here. I am here, Dr. Greg. How are you?
Hey, I'm very well, thank you. I know you've had a very busy day. You're working all the time. A lot going on in your business life, in your personal life. And again, I thank you for sharing this hour with us and our listeners. And Marilyn,
of course, thank you so much.
Yeah, no problem at all. And I'd like to talk about you. And Marilyn, your background, I know you're in nursing and holistic nursing. What about your business life? What great things are you doing in business? And I know, you have written a book. Some of the proceeds, of course, are going to your charities as far as burn marrow, et cetera. Talk to us about that.
Absolutely. So right now, 100% of the proceeds of the book that I wrote a year ago called When the Answer is No, Finding Purpose Through Pain, 100% of the proceeds goes right to the nonprofit organization called Izzy's Legacy in honor of my daughter, Isabella, who passed in 2008 from a rare leukemia. It's official. The nonprofit is now almost a year in March. So right now, it was a year ago that I started the nonprofit. So a year ago now, because exactly, my daughter would have been 17 years old tomorrow. So tomorrow would have been her 17th birthday. Exactly a year ago, the nonprofit was launched in her honor. So happy birthday, happy heavenly birthday to Isabella.
And we're doing a lot of good things to commemorate that with you. As far as just our listeners, and I don't want to dwell on anything that is somewhat saddened, but your baby had what, leukemia at 7 months old, correct? It was
discovered? That's correct. She had a rare leukemia. It's called juvenile myelomonocytic leukemia, JMML for short. And that's unfortunately a cancer of children, very young children, and something that could not be treated time with anything but a bone marrow transplant. It's the only form of treatment for that type of leukemia.
Wow.
So very eye-opening experience, and why my family works so hard to help others.
Beautiful. And, you know, Marilyn, I don't want to dwell on those sad things. But, you know, in a sense, you've dealt with a lot of emotional trauma. And, you know, kind of projecting today down the road here, you made something very, very productive out of that experience. And, you know, Marilyn, if you look at the world today, I think there's a lot of emotional trauma going on. People are being hurt. You know, from what we're seeing, I mean, all over the country, you know, these random shootings. You know, my God, you never know if you go to the mall if something serious may happen, you know, et cetera.
Right.
So it is a very traumatic time. And then you look at the world and look right and look at the war that's going on, you know, in many parts of the world now. And there's people suffering all over the world. And, you know, what sense can we make out of that? You know, as far as emotional, people are suffering. And, you know, you deal with this every day. You know, how do you counsel your patients when they talk about these emotional traumas that they're suffered? You know, people in their lives, they've been in many, you know, traumatic situations. You know, how do you handle it?
So it's going to be different for every person. And that's the biggest thing when I coach nurses who are going through everything, right? We see things that the normal person doesn't. Doctors, you as well. The normal person has now seen things also. You know, we're just coming off of COVID. COVID is still very fresh in all of our minds. It has not gone away. It's better than it was. But because of it, many of us have experienced losses like I have.
Yeah.
Right. So and I don't dwell there. I don't stay there. But because I've had the time to process and work through those things. And everybody has the ability to process and work through those things. But it's going to look different for every person. And you have to find the tools that will help you when something comes up. Now, as a holistic nurse and someone who believes in alternative therapies, I look for things that will help me mentally, spiritually, physically, outside of traditional medication. Medication has its place. It helps. It does. But by itself is not going to do much. If you don't get the therapy, right, it's not going to help. If you don't deal with the issue, it's not going to help. So the big thing is identify what your issue is. Accept is step number one in healing, in grief. Acceptance is the last stage of grief when you talk about the stages of grief, but it's the first one when you're talking about recovery. You got to accept what has happened to you. And once you accept it, then you can start taking steps to move forward and figuring out what tool can I use to help me.
And Marilyn, you know, as far as, which is great advice, how do our listeners confront this? You know, where does one go for help? You know, who do you call? You know, where do you go? I mean, these are, you know, again, when one has emotional trauma and they've suffered or they've been hurt by these, you know, say emotional problems, traumatic events, how do you turn that around? You know, where do you get the life's energy to turn that around, trying to make something positive out of it, you know, as you mentioned, you know, the acceptance of it all. Where do you start, Marilyn?
First of all, giving yourself grace. Everybody's different. You're not going to wake up tomorrow. If this just happened to you today or last week, you're not going to wake up tomorrow and feel better, right? You've got to work through the stages. Consulting with your doctor for, you know, referrals to mental health professionals, and there's all different kinds of mental health professionals. But that's a good step if you don't have that. Identify your support systems. Who in your circle has gone through something, is someone that you count on for good advice, who uplifts you when you're down. Look and identify the people in your circle that will help you through what you're going through. Right? Those are very important steps to moving forward.
Yes. And Marilyn, you know, with, re- say, you know, with regard to doing that, is this something then you tend not to hide? You tend not to go ahead, just keep it in you. That's not the right approach. The right approach is maybe share the experience, as you mentioned, with people that maybe you trust, that nurture you, and it can help support you. Is that where you're going with this?
Absolutely, absolutely. You know, the days of keeping it quiet, I think, are over. I think there are so many of us that were suffering from that. You know, mental health issues are at an all-time high right now, meaning that in a group, in a room, many of you are going to have the same thing. And when you speak up, you also, you know, have the environment for others to speak up and to talk about it. And that's the only way for us to get through this, is to share the experiences and share with one another the things that have helped move forward, you know. And if you're shy about going into a group, there are lots of self-help books out there. Books are wonderful. They are what helped me, that are out there that can help you.
So, again, one needs to explore alternatives, you know, talk to their health professionals and say, hey, I'm dealing with something that's really tough. I need some help. Where can you send me? And there's no shame in that, correct?
Absolutely no shame in that. And actually, I have partnered with someone, and we just started our own business called The Gathering Haven. For this
Gathering Haven
alone,
okay.
The Gathering Haven. And if anybody wants to look it up and see the things that we offer, you can go right to connect.thegatheringhaven.com. And we offer the opportunity for people, because there's different levels of being. There's physical, mental, emotional, financial, you know, there's so many different things where you can be affected by. And what we do is we connect people who are searching for experts in those fields, and we connect you together. So you're able to meet these people. We vetted them ourselves so that we know that they're legitimate and that they're good people. And we connect them with those that are searching. So it is a good resource as well. It's my new venture for 2024.
Beautiful.
Is The Gathering Haven.
So, again, you're helping a lot of people. And, you know, as far as that, mental health issues are a big part of what's going into society today. We're seeing that an awful lot. And, you know, indeed, with the world somewhat in crisis, Marilyn, there has to be a lot of people that need help. And I think even from teenage population to maybe middle age to old age, you have a whole gamut of people that could be suffering, correct?
Absolutely. And we hear it in the elementary schools, right? We hear it from the very young children. And I work with the older population, so in the geriatric population. So it runs from the beginning to the end, where there are so many people that are in need right now.
Wow. And Marilyn, you know, as far as predicting the future, it's hard to do. But indeed, the world has many, many problems that are just not being solved timely, and they continue to grow. You know, immigration is one problem that we have to deal with, as well as then you talk about financial matters, inflation, correct? The cost of everything is going up. And no doubt that causes an awful lot of stress on many segments of our population.
Absolutely. There's so many different things. And the bigger thing to remember is there's a lot of these things that we can't change, that we can do nothing about, right? We can stress about it, but we can understand that there's a lot of these things that, you know, we can do small things and as a collective make big changes, but there are some things that we can't change in life. The only thing that we can change is ourselves. We can take steps to make changes within ourselves to be able to heal and move forward, to be able to deal with the situations that we're dealing with.
Excellent. And, you know, Marilyn, with regard to you writing a book, I know the impetus, you know, was your Izzy that you were writing the book about. You know, where did you get the title, When No Is the Answer? Where did you get that?
Yeah, the funny story with that, it's called When the Answer is No, Finding Purpose Through Pain. And that title came to me many years ago. It just popped into my head. I wrote it down. I didn't understand really what it was for. Just a thought. You know when you get thoughts and you don't know where they come from? So you write them down, you journal, and I journaled it down, and I wrote it down, and I said, I don't know what this means, but because I feel so strongly about writing it down, I did, and I put it away. So when the opportunity arose, I didn't think, even back then, that I was going to write a book. I'm a nurse, right? So my wheelhouse is not being an author. So when the opportunity arose where I wanted to do something in order to bring the attention of the need to correct this disparity that exists within the National Marrow Registry. There's a registry where people volunteer if someone is in need of a match. If they need this life-saving therapy of a bone marrow or stem cell match in order to save their lives, right? And if no one in your family is a match for you, then you have to go on to this registry where people volunteer to be your person to save your life. And there's a disparity that exists. There's not enough of a minority population on there. So the knowledge is, I needed to change that. I wanted to change that. So I had to make a decision. How am I going to do that? What is the best way that I think that I can do that and make it easy for people? So the idea of writing a book came to me. And I said, well, I can share my experience of healing from my experience in 9/11. You know, I have spoken before where I was a nurse in New York City. When that happened, and I suffered from PTSD after that, and then what happened with my daughter. So I share both circumstances in the book. I share tips and tools that help me to heal and move forward. And most importantly, I share Isabella's story and provide a code in the book where someone, if they're moved by the story, can join the registry from the comfort of their home. They can get online and request a kit be sent to their house. So I was just doing something to make it easy and to reach as many people as possible.
And, you know, Marilyn, at that time when this registry, you were realizing there was no registry for, you know, for Izzy, because it had the National Bone Marrow Registry, but for other people, so to speak, the Latino and other ethnics, there wasn't a large amount of donors available, correct?
That's correct. And I was told that back in 2007 when she was diagnosed. I was never told percentages. I was never told my likelihood.
Sure.
The only thing I was told was that there's not a real presence. So I had to start doing drives myself and getting on television and getting in the newspaper in order to bring attention and potentially get a match for her because no one in my family was a match for her. And that's when I first learned of it.
Yeah, how did you learn what to do? How did you learn to go ahead and, you know, I know you were driven, but how did you learn what to do? Trial and error? Or just basically you were a driven woman and mother that wanted to save your child?
Well, at the time, absolutely. Any parent, mother, father, you know, brother, sister, you know, there's many families that are out there. And once you hear that someone you love is in danger of losing their life, you're going to do whatever you have to have drives and to do what you need to do. And even after she found her match and that was a successful transplant. She ended up passing from complications of being immune compromised a year later. She was good. It worked. What happened though after that is that we continued to have drives and bring attention to this in a smaller scale after 2008. But my oldest daughter, who was 9 years old when her sister was diagnosed, is now an adult. She's now a grown woman and dedicated her career. She dedicated her life to doing something that honored her sister. So she now works for the organization, which is now called, and that's something I want to mention as well. It was called Be the Match. Last year when you and I talked, it was called Be the Match. They have since changed their name to NMDP. Just in January of this year, she works for this organization, and she shared with me that what was true back in 2007 is still true today, that there still is not, you know, a representation of certain backgrounds on there, and that's when I decided I had to do something different because I couldn't believe that this many years later, we still, those of us that are Hispanic, Black, of mixed ethnicity, still have the same problem. So
what
I learned through my daughter.
What is the name of the organization, you know, right now?
Yeah,
what
it's
is the
called
name of...
NMDP. So it used to be called, and back then when I was searching, it was called the National Marrow Donor Program. That's what NMDP stood for back in 2007, right?
Yeah.
Right now, they went with brand recognition, right? So people are familiar with this NMDP from before, but it means so much more today. They're no longer just national, they're international. They just don't deal with marrow. They deal with stem cell therapies, so more than just marrow therapies. They don't just work with donors. They work with many, many different people. So that's why, even though, you know, we all remember the NMDP and what it stands for, they're still saving lives. So their mission hasn't changed, just their name. So they're no longer be the match.
And Marilyn, you know, with regard to representation culturally,
yes,
whom do they represent? You know, is it the Latino community, the Black community, other nationalities? Who do they represent?
They represent everybody. For NMDP represents everybody. What they have is this registry, and they can tell by this registry how many donors they have or potential donors they have of a certain background, right? And then what they do is that they break that up and they go, what's the likelihood that if you were searching, Doc, if you were searching, right, that you would find your match? And if you're Caucasian, that's a 79%. So you're still not even 100% sure that you can find your match. So no one is safe. No one. Right?
No one.
But it drops to, if you're Hispanic, that 79% drops to 48%. If you're Black, that drops to a 29% likelihood that you'll find somebody on this registry. And if you're of mixed ethnicity, that's getting very slim. And if you're of mixed ethnicity, it's even less than that. So imagine, who's not mixed right now?
And as far as the organization, how many matches have they come up with over the last year? You know, what's their success rate? You know, how good is this system working? Do we have any data like that at all, Marilyn?
Not that I have myself right now, but if you go onto the website themselves on NMDP, if you do a search, you'll find so much information right on their website. And every day, I know that the statistics have improved greatly just in the last 2 years. And with the addition of these stem cell therapies, they're now able to treat so many more people. Before, you used to have, like, it's something called an HLA type, which is a protein on the cells of our bodies. You used to have to be a perfect match. Now with the emerging therapies, you don't have to be a perfect match anymore, right? So people are now able to get their transplants with a less of a match because we've leaps and bounds they have come since then. So, yeah, they're having huge success rates, and they're growing every day.
Super. And, you know, Marilyn, tell us again. I think you've told us the last time we did have you on the show, how does one become a donor? How can they get involved if they want to be involved with this registry, helping other people? What is the process?
Right. The process, first of all, and you know, this is the biggest question, is how old do you have to be in order to get onto this registry? So the donors, to be signed up, you have to be between the ages of 18 and 40. Why is that, right? Because if you're 41, why can't you join the registry? Because science has shown that the younger the donor, the better the outcome for the recipient, right? The healthier the cells are. The last thing someone needs, you know, who is already in a precarious situation, is that the cells don't replicate like they should because they're older. So it leaves them subject to maybe needing another transplant, which is very dangerous and very life-threatening to begin with.
Sure.
So you want the healthiest cells possible. And, of course, that's in the younger person, right?
Yep.
But if you're over 40, how can you help, right? So I'm sure those that are over 40, advocacy, informing those people that you know that do fit within that age range, tell them about it, have them join the registry. And it is so easy to join. Be advocates, right? Financially support the endeavors like Izzy's Legacy, our foundation, right? If you help by donating to the foundation, what we do, what we specialize in, is educating the at-risk population that really doesn't have a presence. So we go out there. We have educational seminars with the people that are of that age range and of that particular background and educate them specifically. on the need to join the registry, and we register them onto the registry. Joining the registry is as easy as, there's a swab, a cotton swab, like a Q-tip, that you swab the inside of your cheek. Easier than brushing your teeth in order to join the registry.
And that swab is sent in to the organization?
Yes. So if you go on izzyslegacyinc.org, you go right onto my nonprofit's website.
Yes.
There is a section there where you can join the registry. It leads you right to the NMDP website, right? You then will order. They'll ask you a bunch of health questions, and if it's good, right? If all the answers turn out and you're healthy and you're the right age, then they will send a kit right to your home. You don't even have to leave your home.
Oh, wow!
The kit comes to you. You do the swab. You put it back in the postage paid envelope, you mail it in, and that's it. You wait for your email saying you're on the registry. That's as simple and easy as that is.
And Marilyn, let's say that one day you as a donor become a potential match. What happens?
If you are, what happens next, right? What are the next steps of donation? That's important. So the next step, you're identified. You get a phone call. You're a match for someone. So then you will be sent in for further checkup, blood work, physical, to make sure that you're in good health, and that they will then check to make sure that you match that person at a higher level. So the swabbing is preliminary match. Then you're going to go through more. If you get to the next step, right, now you're identified and you're really a great match. Right? And you say, yes, I'm going to help this person. So there are two ways of donating, right? The old-fashioned way, which is the bone marrow, where a doctor would go into your hip bone with a needle and extract the marrow. This is painless. This is done under anesthesia, so the donor feels nothing, right? But that's only in 10% of the cases. 90% of the time, which is the majority of the time, it's as easy as when you donate blood or platelets, right?
Oh.
So you, that easy, sure. That easy.
You're after stem cells.
Correct. We're getting the stem cells. So 90% of the time, they're getting your stem cells. It's called a PBSC donation. It's non-surgical. You get five days before the actual donation, you get a medication that helps increase the number of cells, blood-forming cells in your bloodstream. On the day of the donation, you go to a hospital that they send you to. You spend the day with someone that you bring with you. If you want to bring somebody with you, some reading materials, some music. You hang out with a nurse like me for a little while. And then they hook you up, just like if you were going to donate blood. They remove your blood through one arm, right? It goes into a machine where it extracts the cells, the blood-forming cells from your blood.
Yes.
And then they give you the rest back. So in your other arm, they give you the rest of your blood right back to you. They monitor you.
Okay.
And that's it. That's it.
Wow. And that really is the gift of life.
And it's the gift of life in life. We talk about, donations of organs, right? When you go renew your license, they ask you, do you want to be an organ donor, right? But we know that when we sign something like that, the likelihood is that we're going to pass away in order to give that gift of life to someone else.
Correct.
Right?
They're taking
this
the organs.
This is an organ.
Yes.
Yeah, your bone marrow is an organ, but it's something that you can give to someone in life. It's something that you're not giving away. Let's say you're having a kidney transplant. You're giving one of your kidneys away. Your body continues to make cells. Your body continues to make blood cells. So you get to keep what's yours. You get to gift a life to someone else. And you both live. How beautiful,
Marilyn,
is that?
That is beautiful. And, the other beauty of this is you're able to do it again if indeed the circumstances were to arise, correct?
That is correct. Actually,
it
my daughter's donor.
Gift.
Yeah, he was matched three times to people.
Wow.
So.
Wow. Thank God.
Incredible.
Thank God. Marilyn, with regard to, if we look at, what does this organization need? What are the needs of this foundation? and this registry. What do you need to make this continually successful?
Yeah, we need people to join. If you're between the ages and 40, we need you to get on there and say yes to saving a life in life, is to get onto the registry and do that. I would absolutely love the support for Izzy's Legacy. So going on to izzyslegacyinc.org, help us financially so that we can continue to educate those that are at risk, and encourage them to join and sign, because many times, especially the Hispanic population, right, they may not understand the information that's provided to them. So what we do is we go out and we provide materials in their language. I speak their language so that I can explain it to them as a nurse, myself as a Hispanic, and as a mom who went through it. I can educate these people and have them join and have them understand that this is something that we can work together to change.
Wonderful. And now you're talking about speaking Spanish, correct?
Yeah, speaking Spanish.
Yes, well, no, which is fine. I mean, as far as that part of our population that may not understand English well, you're able to go
correct.
In, talk to them, use the right terminology, the understandable terminology, so that they know what you're all about, which I think is
absolutely
fantastic.
You know, so that's what NMDP is all about.
Yes. Marilyn, we're going to go to the studio in L.A. Mr. Mancini has quite a few questions. If you don't mind answering some questions this evening, we'll turn it over to Mr. Mancini. Mark, can you hear me?
I can definitely hear you, and it's a great conversation as we're at the top of the hour. And let me get a couple of these questions and get back to this great interview with you and Marilyn. Donna coming in from Waterbury, Connecticut. She basically has a two-part question. Will insurance cover stem cell therapy, and how long do stem cell injections last? Wow.
Wow, Marilyn, what do you know about that?
Yeah, question number one is absolutely insurance covers the entire process. So, and it's the insurance of the person receiving the donation. So the donor's insurance is not factored into this at all, right? It is a person who is the recipient. It's their insurance that would cover it, right? And it would cover the donor as well if anything should arise. And the how long does it last? Well, it's not. It's actually when you're going for the donation, the person who's receiving it, their own immune system is eradicated. Is taken away by chemotherapy. It's killed completely. It is now replaced with that donor's immune system. So it will last them a lifetime. It will last a lifetime. Sometimes in a certain condition, it can come back. The cancer can come back, or they can lose that donor and they may have to have another transplant. But in most of the cases, you know, this is something that once they get this gift is a gift for the lifetime.
Beautiful. And so that our donors have a chance at life here. Let's go on, Mark.
Yeah, Albert from Poway, a rabid listener to the show, says, what diseases are cured by stem cells?
Great question.
Wow.
The majority of them are the leukemias, right? And there's many different kinds. There's AML, ALL, CLL, all these acronyms. Lymphomas, like Hodgkin's lymphoma, non-Hodgkin's lymphoma. Certain anemias are also, so anything that has to do with blood, right? So there's sickle cell anemia that is actually cured by stem cells. Aplastic anemia. There is inherited immune system disorders, right? So there are certain disorders that leave a person with a compromised immune system, so they're not able to fight infections like everybody else. There's metabolic disorders that are treated because they also have to do with the immune system. So anything that has to do with blood and immune system can be treated with this.
Thank you. Mark, I have one that I just got across my email by Ken Marilyn. And our listener is asking, are these stem cell treatments, do they cure these diseases or conditions?
Yes, they do. That is why they're used, because it is the cure for it. Like I said, when somebody has a diseased immune system, a cancerous immune system, their own immune system with the chemotherapy is killed. It's taken
sure.
away. It is now replaced by the persons who's donating.
But,
to the point of this, let's say that the donor is a type A blood and you're a type O blood, right? Let's say
yep.
I'm the person that needs it and I'm an O. And you, doc, you're the one that's going to give me your immune system. When they get rid of mine with chemo and they replace it with yours, I now become your blood type.
Got it.
I am taking
wow.
on your cells
that's,
and immune system. So, yes,
that's powerful.
It is replaced
and
with
Marilyn,
healthy. It is powerful.
Yeah, that's where some of these suppressive drugs are necessary as well, to go
absolutely.
Ahead and suppress the immune system of the recipient, correct?
That's correct. That's correct. Because there is just like in any transplant, a risk of rejection, right? Because it
yeah.
belongs to someone else. And that's why it's so important to match at that higher level, at that HLA protein,
sure.
so that your body doesn't reject it. That's why we look for those matches. And when we talk about matching, that's what we're talking about. So that it closely resembles one another so that your body doesn't reject it and thinks it's something foreign that it needs to attack.
And the closer the match, then the better the recipient can handle it, correct? With their
absolutely.
With their elastic, yes. And, you know,
absolutely.
Mark, I have one more here. Marilyn, you know, a listener wanted to know, how much bone marrow aspirate is harvested for this procedure to do a bone marrow donation? Do you have an idea of what volume one's talking
that's,
about?
That's a great question. No, I don't know the exact. I know that it differs from patient to patient. I know that it differs if it's a child who's receiving it versus an adult who's receiving it. So it's a larger amount based on the adult.
So it's a very customized situation.
It's customized, yeah.
Of the recipient.
Correct.
Beautiful. Mark, go ahead. What do you have left there?
Oh. Let me get one more, and it's basically from Steve from Corvallis, Oregon, and then I'll get it back to you guys and see in about 15 minutes. He said, how does cell therapy work, and what are the risks of it?
Stem cell therapy works in just like I explained, right, so that it is healthy cells that replicate. So stem cells are the mother cells of all the cells in our body, right?
Yeah.
So they're the ones that will go on to form. The ones that are harvested are the ones that will form white blood cells, red blood cells, the platelets, all the different things that form our blood. So these cells will go on to replicate, right, to form these other cells. And that's how stem cell therapy works. So by getting rid of the one that's sick out of your body, replacing it with healthy ones will now allow your body to start producing healthy white blood cells, red blood cells, platelets, and all those things that we need for life to sustain the organs in our body, to sustain our immune systems. So that's how that works. And what was the second part of that question?
What are the risks?
So the risks are very much the same thing. The number one risk is rejection. Right, that the body recognizes it as foreign and the cells don't. That's the biggest risk. There are certain side effects. There's something called graft versus host disease. So if it's not a perfect match, sometimes our body does start to reject it. And that can range from a skin irritation where your skin starts to react, your organs will not react. There's so many different things that, you know, to list. That's why I always refer people to go to the NMDP website, because there are so many things listed that you can educate yourself depending on the condition that you have, the therapy that you would have, and the risks associated with that.
Excellent. You know, if I can, Mark, Marilyn, I have another question coming across here. Are there any moral or religious concerns about a stem cell recipient? Anything you've run across that could be a little bit unusual, or people that would say, no, religiously or morally, we can't accept stem cells?
Right. The only group that I'm aware of would be the Jehovah Witness group, because they usually do not accept
blood products,
transfusions and things like that. So they're the only ones that I'm familiar with. There may be more than I know of, but that is the one that stands out to me the most.
Very interesting. Have you had any circumstances like that, Marilyn? You know, with regard to your donors? Okay.
I have not.
And have not. Very good. And you know, Marilyn, with regard, again, it's along the same line. You know, with regard to a person receiving, you know, a donation, if you will, is there counseling that goes with this for the recipient?
Yes, absolutely. So I remember just for myself, my daughter was a baby, but our entire family received guidance from the hospital itself while we were going through transplant. We received counseling. My children, my other children were receiving from the child life specialist, were taken away for like play therapy so that it would be, you know, understood by them, you know, at their age range, what was happening and what could happen, you know, and it really did help them a lot. And it helped me a lot as well.
Wonderful. Beautiful. So counseling did pay off. You know, I have one other question coming through. Pregnancy complicate being a donor or a recipient?
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. So just like with anything, right, with pregnancies, if you're a pregnant mom, you wouldn't go through the donation. You would have to be paused as a donor until after you delivered. They would never give you a medication that could potentially cause any kind of adverse or ill effects in the mom or baby. So that's something that, you would have to wait until after.
Wow. Excellent. We've had a tremendous discussion. Marilyn, you know, with regard to, let's talk about you a little more. You know, with regard to your future, you know, what's on your table next now? You know, do you have other goals that you'd like? I know you go to work every day, you know, as an RN. You know, I know you have the foundation. You know, I know all that. What else are you doing, Marilyn? You have one book under your belt. Is there another one out there?
Listen, I'm a co-author of several books as well. Dare to Care, one that talks healthcare heroes. I have a chapter in that book as well. I'm going to co-author another book called Through My Mother's Eyes, where I honor my mother, who was a person who helped me. I lost her in 2020. So when we talk about losses, right, there are multiple losses, and how do we deal with that? But the lessons learned through her. A lot of speaking engagements. I have a Warrior Women conference coming up on June 1st in Cherry Hill, New Jersey, where I've been asked to be one of the keynote speakers, talk about things like this, to talk about resiliency, to talk about how do we get through these hard times. So I'm available as a speaker. The Gathering Haven, again, you know, is something else that we're helping people to be able to move forward in life.
Marilyn, what's the scope of knowledge that you have that you can speak on? You know, is it have to do typically with these traumatic events, counseling people to get through them? You know, what's your scope, so to speak?
I've been a nurse since I'm 17 years old. I've been in the medical field since 1986, so long, long, long time, right? But because of all the different things that I've experienced, I believe my specialty is in PTSD and in stress, anxiety, and grief because of my personal experiences with trauma, with PTSD through the 9/11 experience, you know, with grief and loss. Those are the things that I can personally speak on and educate people on moving forward, on steps that we can take together in order to move forward, especially if you're looking for non-pharmaceutical ways to do that. And then those are the things that I specialize in talking about.
Marilyn, you know, I know you do group speaking, but are you also seeing people on an individual basis in your office, you know, on a one-to-one basis? Do you handle that, or are you more administrative in ministering to other people that work for you?
So, no, I also counsel and coach people as well. That's what the Gathering Haven is now that we formed. That is something that I do in groups of 10 that we can, you know, talk together and work together. I always think a support system is important, especially when you want to do this. I'm a Reiki master, so I also do Reiki sessions, which is energy work. So I do patients, clients, one-on-one, so I can also coach people on a one-to-one basis as well.
Beautiful. And Marilyn, do you ever, you know, as far as say what you do, do you ever reach out to other specialties, whether it's a psychologist, a psychiatrist, a medical doctor? Do you ever reach out, you know, these people may need other services? Do you tend to do that or have a team approach here?
We have an entire team at the Gathering Haven. We have people that are mental health professionals. We have psychologists that are on our council. We have people who deal with specialty in finances. If the stressor in your life is finances, financial assistance and how to deal with that on a mental, emotional level so that your viewpoint of finances can change and so it doesn't stress you out, right? So we have an entire team of individuals that you can tap into and have that kind of assistance.
Because no doubt finance could be quite a button in a lot of people's lives. Whether they're approaching bankruptcy or they're in bankruptcy or having a lot of financial problems, that has to create an awful lot of stress.
Yeah, so you want to talk to somebody who is an expert in that field and who can also guide you and coach you through the other aspects of that. So, you know, we have ministers. Wow. We have a doctor, Dr. Sidney Cohen, is a clinical psychologist in private practice who's also on the Gathering Haven Council. So these are people that you will have access to. Ah, absolutely. So, you know, we're out there to help people. So Marilyn Morales, what am I going to do in the future? This is my goal.
Yep.
I think it's time to hang up my stethoscope for a little while and start working passionately with people and helping them move forward in life.
And Marilyn, how do you assess the needs? Are there a lot of needy people that need services like this? That maybe
Everybody needs something. It's being vocal about it. It's speaking up about it. Say, hey, you know what? I'm great in this and this and that, but I would love some support in this area. How can that help? You know, back to the Gathering Haven is, you know, we would have monthly calls where we as a group talk about these things. So sometimes it's just getting in a group of people and being able to hear how other people manage that. That's going to help you. You'll have that aha moment, right? Or having a one-to-one session with somebody on the council is another aha moment. But you have to be willing to speak on it and say and accept that you need help. So acceptance that you need the help, and then the resources are here.
Wonderful. And Marilyn, you know, along with that, you know, we've talked about a lot of things tonight. What about marriages? Do you find marriages in trouble because of the stress and people experience a different level of stress, different diseases? Is that ruining marriages and families as well from your point of view?
Yeah, I think if we look at the data, just what happened during COVID, right, where people had to cohabitate and were in each other's spaces all the time, they started to realize, you know, that there were things that they were not willing to live with. Right? That there were things that were problematic, that because everybody went off to work and didn't have to spend as much time together, that wasn't an issue. But, you know, at an all-time high, you know, those kind of difficulties have been arising as well. So, yes, I've seen it. I've experienced it in my own circles where couples are now, you know, redefining what they want for the future. Now that we've seen, and I always say that mortality has a funny way of providing clarity, right? When you know that your life could...
Say that again, Marilyn.
Mortality has a funny way of providing clarity. When you know that potentially your life could end tomorrow, as in the case of COVID, you didn't know when you were going to catch it and if you were going to live through it. What kind of regrets do I have in my life? How do I want to live my life? Now that we've all made it, those of us that made it past that, what do we want the rest of our years to look like? So looking at our own mortality during COVID gave us clarity of what we want for our futures and what we want for our family's futures. Yeah.
I mean, that takes a lot of confront, doesn't it? To confront your life and what you're about, what you've done, and now to look at it and, you know, go ahead and then try to deal with it.
Listen, 2020 is perfect vision, right? If you've got 2020 vision, and 2020 provided us with clarity.
Yes. And, you know,
it absolutely did.
It's hard. But, Marilyn, you know, it's hard to find people with your level of expertise and the exposure that you've had to all this and then to implement what you've done. I think that's tremendous. And,
you
keep on doing it. And Marilyn, your phone has to ring off the hook. And, I bet it does. You're very humble, but it has to ring off the hook.
Listen, my daughter just told me, he goes, Mom, you never stop. You never stop. You're always going. You're always doing. Because I feel when there's somebody in need, you know, when you come up from that and you know how that feels like and you're on the other side of it, you want to help as many people as possible behind you so that they don't have to go through the things that you had.
What you did. And, you know, Marilyn, as far as, say, acceptance, do you find people willing to accept, you know, your philosophy, the things that that you've experienced, you want to implement? Are people accepting these things pretty easily, you know, as far as confronting their lives? How do you implement all this? How do you get people to, so to speak, buy in to the philosophy and to, you know, talk about the gathering place and things like that?
It's about the gathering haven. Well, yeah, but this is the thing, the gathering haven. So people have reached a point where they feel, I've got nothing to lose. If they're reaching out to us, it's because they've reached a point where I have nothing to lose, so why not? Why not try something that potentially, especially with my partner, Julia Gandy, who is a cancer survivor herself. She works for a hospice company. She's been through a lot herself. When you see people who have gone through it themselves, it's different. It hits you different. So
different,
you know, if I made it, you can too. Yeah, I always say this. I'm just a girl from Brooklyn. There's nothing special about me, except that I survived Brooklyn.
I think there is something special about you. You're very humble, very modest here, and you've done a tremendous job. And you know, as far as I'm still amazed with regard to this registry that you've done. That, you know, why nobody else had thought about that, Marilyn. Nobody else jumped on that bandwagon. I mean, you really took that from a personal crisis, and, you know, no doubt you help a tremendous number of people.
I said, my goal, I said, at the end of my life is not to have made $1 million, but to have saved 1 million lives through my efforts of talking about this. You know, I said, I got a lot of work to do. There's a lot to do. I'm trying to reach 1 million people. I hope I make it, you know, but I'd like to look back at my life at the end and say, damn it, I did it.
Wow, what a goal. And, you know, as far as your daughter, how do you and your daughter work together on this? Are you partners? You know, you partner with this and, you know, build up Izzy's legacy?
Izzy's legacy,
you know, how do you handle that at home?
That could be difficult because sometimes she's my boss, right? because she works for the NMDP. When we're at a drive, she's the boss, not me. Right. And as mother and daughter, that's a different dynamic. So I have to do what she tells me to do and how she tells me to do it. But I respect it. I respect it. And it's because of her that, you know, I move forward. It was because of what she shared. It's because of her passion that she inspired me to do more than what I was doing.
What a tremendous asset then.
Absolutely.
You know, with regard to your husband, what role does your husband play in all this?
Well, he's the vice president of Izzy's Legacy. My entire family is in, even my youngest. He's 13. We call him the mascot. He's the mascot.
All right.
So we've got about 10 board of directors, and 5 of them are family. So my daughter is the secretary. My husband's the vice president. My oldest son is the treasurer. And we have, you know, outside people also that help support.
Sure.
That are experts in those fields and that help them come along and make decisions for the organization to make sure that even after I'm gone, the mission will continue.
Fantastic. That'll be many years. You know,
many years
we're running out of time, Marilyn. Do you want to summarize, you know, this whole thing with what you're doing with regard to your foundation, with regard to the registry? Do you want to give me a summary for our listeners, please?
I would love for our listeners to go on to izzyslegacyinc.org, look at the information. If it moved you, if the story moved you and you're inspired by it, there are so many ways that you can support us, either with financial donations, because I failed to mention this. We also financially assist people that are on a cancer journey, not just children, families. So there is an application online where you can apply for financial assistance. So I encourage people to look at that, look us up, and see how we can provide resources for you. For those of you that are looking for other types of things that we talked about, coaching and connecting with other like-minded individuals and moving forward in your life, then go to the connect.thegatheringhaven.com, look us up, drop a message there, and we'll get back to you.
Wonderful. And, you know, geographically, where is the Gathering Haven?
We
is
are
there a
located
location?
In, yeah, we're in New Jersey. We're in Mount Laurel, New Jersey. But because one of the people on our, we have people from Italy that are part of the Gathering Haven. So you
wow.
don't have to physically be where we are. With these days, we have Zoom, Teams, we have so
oh,
many
yes.
capabilities. And we'll have Zoom meetings on there. So you don't have to be in our same physical location or even in our same time zone. If you need help, we're
Beautiful.
Here to help you.
And Marilyn, what's the best way for people to get a hold of you if they want to communicate, have questions? What's the best way to do that?
First, Facebook. Facebook. If you look me up, Marilyn Morales, you'll see Izzy's Legacy on there. Izzy's Legacy, we have a Facebook page for Izzy's Legacy as well. Or my email is MarilynMorales817@gmail.com. That's Marilyn, the typical Marilyn, like Marilyn Monroe. MarilynMorales3817@gmail.com is my email.
You want to say anything in Spanish to our listeners?
If we have Spanish listeners?
We may have Spanish listeners.
I don't think so, because we spoke in English the entire time. But if you know someone who wants more information, absolutely. Izzy's Legacy.
Beautiful.
Estamos aquí para ayudarlos para todos. So
Marilyn,
we are here
thank
to help
you.
Everyone.
Wow. Mr. Mancini, go ahead.
Yeah, well, let me just comment on one guy coming in. He's a regular, too. Kenneth, you heard from Peoria, Arizona, says, when you went through this whole thing, and we're down to about 30 seconds to elaborate on it, Marilyn, did you ever question God on how come he took her this early in her life? It's, you know,
absolutely. I think anybody who has a loss is going to question God and going to question your faith. But I'm going to say that the understanding that God is not a God who takes, but he actually waited for her. So having that perspective of God didn't take her, he waited for her to finish her journey and welcome her back home. And that's the perspective that I chose.
What a beautiful thought.
Yeah. We got to get her back again, Doc, and this great show has hit close to 500. It's just amazing that we keep picking up steam each and every week going into primetime. Marilyn, again, let everybody know how they can get a hold of you, and then we'll give it over to Doc, and then we'll wrap it up.
Certainly reach out at izzyslegacyinc.org. Please visit the website. And also through MarilynMorales3817@gmail.com, or look me up and friend me on Facebook.
Yeah.
Beautiful. And Mark, people can get a hold of me, GJRMD308@outlook.com. And Mark, next week, we've got a cancer surgeon that does skull-based surgery for tumors of the sinus, the base of the brain. Very interesting concept. And again, a lot of very interesting technologies are going on today with these very aggressive cancers of the sinuses, the face, and the base of the brain. So it should be a very interesting show. So thank
Every
you, Mr.
Week
Mancini.
Gets, yeah, I love it. Every week for producing this great show. For Marilyn Morales in New Jersey, Dr. Greg Roscoe in Pittsburgh, yours truly, Mark Mancini in Seattle, I mean Los Angeles, with all the rain we've been getting. We'll talk to you next week. Catch the archive version on blogtalkradio.com/Mancini Sports, podcast platforms, or if you subscribe to podcast powered now by Mancini Media. We love you dearly. We'll see you next Thursday, same time. Good night,
Thank
everybody.
You,
Thank you. Good night, everybody.